Who likes CBD oil? Who likes enhanced CBD? That's a affiliate of the show. Best CBD on the market. Use the code Let's Talk at the checkout. Get yourself 15% off. And everybody loves a bit of CBD nowadays. Everybody's dabbling in it. Whether you're doing a kind of pre-workout, getting yourself prepped, hiding the aches and pains that are being masked, get some enhanced CBD, 15% off. Also good for post-workout or just to get through your day-to-day life. Sometimes it's good to take a wee painkiller now and again just to get yourself sorted out, but then why not get someone that's constantly working behind the scenes? Enhanced CBD on the market, brilliant, Let's Talk. And also check out friends of the show, Hardcore Inc. Apparel, trust your struggle, become stronger. A brand with social equal values that provides quality organic apparel. Hardcore Inc. Scotland, check their pages on the social medias and enhanced. And while you're at it, find somebody to do me some voiceovers because I don't have that springy voiceover voice. But enjoy the sponsors and affiliates of the show. I'm sure you get a lot of good stuff coming out of them. Now we'll crack on with a guest. I've got James Leander on the show. Now, Dundee musician, been in a lot of bands, done a lot of stuff on his own right. Comes from a very, very musical family. He joined me on the show to chat a bit about COVID. Not the negative aspect, but the aspect of how it impacts musicians. We also had a good wee chat about how he got into music, why he does music, the meaning behind the kind of music he does, what he's got going now, what he's got coming in the future, a lot of optimism, hoping that we're going to get gigs on the go in the next couple of months. He released a really cool EP, Sad, The New Happy. Perspectives, take for it what you will. Look into the interpretation and the meaning through the songs. Contact James, see what he's getting up to. Any business inquiries, jamesleandu95@gmail.com. Check him out on SoundCloud, Spotify. Jump on his YouTube, where he's perhaps the most popular in terms of the music, the views, the comments, the feedback. Great musician, great to have him on. It's been a wee while. Get and check him out. As I said, we've got gigs coming. There's gigs happening in May and Dundee, so if that's not a good sign and thing to come, then I don't know what is. But yeah, check it out. James Leander Music. Check out debut EP, Sad The New Happy. Listen to this episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, full video on YouTube. And thanks again for bearing with me and tuning in to episode 23. Have a good day and enjoy the show. James Leander, Dundee singer, songwriter, thank you very much for tuning in to Let's Talk Some and getting on Let's Talk Some. How you been?
Yeah, mate, I've been good, man. It's been chilling, man. Obviously, we've been in lockdown. Well, we had been in lockdown for the past year and a bit. So, yeah, man, just been chilling, just doing what I can to stay busy. Happy that now things are starting to open up. Feel a little bit more like normal again, you know what I'm saying? Instead of just sitting in the house, same thing every day. So yeah, mate, I've been good, man.
Man, Kim, it's sounding good. It sounds like you've got a cool kind of vibe going. I mean, last year, well, at least for the last 18 months, it's been insane. A lot of divides for the stuff that we used to get up to in an everyday life, and that specifically passions. In your case, performing, whether it be in a musical kind of gig setting or busking out on the streets and that. So if we're just kind of looking into the 18-month spread, how did you manage to cope with it? Did you have a bit of a difficult time, or was it all good, time to focus on music?
So, man, good and bad. Obviously, the bad side of it was couldn't perform. And then, because that was my main income, to be honest, man.
Yeah.
Because I used to busk, then I stopped busking. But gigs was like my main thing, and I had just, there's this new vegan coffee shop / like grocery store thing. It's called Birchwood Emporium. But I was just a way to start doing a little music thing there where every second week, there was going to be like a musician playing see how it would go. Yeah, for like 6 weeks. And the owner said that if it went well and it brought more people in, then it would make it a permanent thing.
Like a residency kind of thing, are we?
Yeah, man. That was going to be my first sort of residence.
Awesome.
Because most most of the pubs and that in Dundee, like they already heard the musicians. So
yeah,
anytime
man.
I go and out, they'd
I
be
know
like,
the ones as well.
Hey man, yeah. This will not be named. But yeah, so I got that. And then the month it was meant to start was the month everything went down with COVID. So I was like, So couldn't perform in that. But one good thing that came out of the lockdowns, I have been writing a lot. Like probably more than I ever have.
Yeah.
And I've been collaborating with a lot of people like just online. So I've got a lot of stuff like behind the works that should be coming out just whenever it can, man. Yeah, the writing process stayed the same. I was afraid that I was gonna stop, obviously, because no gigs, wasn't really seeing much people. So yeah, I was just like, man, hopefully I don't get a writer's block. Because I kept seeing online, everyone was like, oh, got writer's block, not got the motivation. Obviously, it was a crap time for everyone. So I think a lot of people were struggling to write. But I was just like, just using everything around me and just like writing. And yeah, got a lot of songs like ready to record, man.
That's the way. I mean, for me, when it comes to like musicians and that, what I found is that, I mean, I'm not a musician by any right, but I've been in that kind of environment and done it to an extent. But for me, just looking at musicians like yourself who were dead active, I noticed that a lot of people, like you said, they weren't getting to gig. Writer's block was becoming a thing, but I mean, if music was somewhere that they can go and vent and get away from the 9 to 5 and that, they weren't even getting to do that. So they were getting stuck in the household. The motivation to write wasn't even there. They kind of go and get out on a weekend. I mean, people go out on a weekend to drink and have a good time, but musicians, respectably, are out there to perfect their craft and kind of get the feedback on the songs that they're doing and that. So I could see that being a real problem as well. Is that kind of the writer's block you're referring to?
Yeah, man. And I think it's also like, it was the motivation. Like people were finding it hard to feel motivated because every week something bad was happening. Either it was like, I had to wear a mask, there was new rules, or you're going to get a fine, this and that. If you don't do this, this will happen. And then, so yeah, just a lot of confusion and uncertainty, man. So yeah, I was just keeping my head down, man, staying positive, because I'm used to like bad things happening and just like just having to pedal through it, man. I mean, it's life. I think obviously this is the first pandemic I've ever experienced in my life, but hey, man, just gotta take what you've got and just ride through. Because at the end, man, there's always gonna be that light. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. About being resilient, really. I mean, thankfully, we've not had these kind of things going on before and that, but now we've been through it. It's like, right, we understand how the world kind of copes with it. And unfortunately for governments and all that, the kind of way that the stance that they take on it provides much difficulty. But I think that, I mean, as a nation or as a city in that regard, I think Dundee's been really brilliant in terms of, you've seen the negativity on social media, but you've also seen a lot of positivity. So that's pretty much what I take for it. And I think that now we're getting past it. I'm hoping that we're going to hear this big kind of boom going on. Have you been, I mean, you're more in the music scene than me. Are you hearing a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz going on for your peers?
To be honest, I've seen a lot of gigs being announced. And so, yeah, I've seen a lot of people are like, excited. Like I think maybe 2-3 weeks ago I seen like the first festival post, and then since then every day it's just been surge of posts, like people pretty much just getting ready to gig, man, tour and everything. I don't know if they're gonna like happen because obviously what's happened last year, so I'm not being too optimistic, but at the moment it's looking good, man. Like I'm pretty positive that I mean, gigs will come back and things will hopefully get back to normality. Not like before, but with the new, like, post-COVID, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I mean, I've seen people's posts. I mean, I've seen, do you kind of band called Volcano X?
I have, man. I think I played a few gigs with them back when I was in Black Blood, man.
Awesome, man. And right enough, actually, in terms of the genres and that. So they put a poster up and I was like, I was like, you fucking kidding me? Like, Like when it said May, I actually messaged them. I went, "Ah, is it May 2022?" And they went, "Nah, it's like this May." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? Is this actually going to happen now?" And it's like, apparently it's going to be, but hopefully they do, because I'm wanting to go. I'm just wanting to get back into the live music and that. But anyway, hoping it's going to be good. So you released an EP back in October, yeah?
Yeah, man.
So like, yeah. Titled Sad, The New Happy. So just based on the word spin alone, are you able to break it down? I think I might know what the meaning is, but could you elaborate and just kind of break the meaning down for me?
Basically, so it's like, it's a double meaning. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the first meaning being, when I was writing this EP, it was, most of the songs had already been written, but when I was like compiling which songs I was going to choose, it was during COVID. Yep. So the first side of it was basically like everything that's going on around us is chaos, like every day, whether it's war, disease, like just anything, everything you see on the news, even just in everyday life, man. I mean, there's always madness going on. And it's just being able to like find that light, mm-hmm. like no matter how bad it is. And then the other meaning is like more personally to do with me. Like anytime I felt like things couldn't get better, I've always held onto that light, like no matter how down I am. Mm-hmm. Because eventually you do, and that you are okay again. So yeah, man. That's sort of like the double meaning, man.
Nah, I get it. I mean, and it's like deep. Yeah, it's very deep, but I mean, and kind of like the songwriter,
straightforward at the same time.
Yeah, like, and I mean that's the way it should be as well. I mean, a lot of people are finding it, and in a sense, obviously, the connotations, a lot of people think that sad and sadness is, it's not a great thing, but if you've got a certain kind of mindset in that, you can still be happy in the sadness in that kind of regard. And it's all about kind of picking yourself up and being resilient. So how was it releasing music in COVID? So obviously you didn't get to do an EP launch in the way that we would typically be able to do it, but on an online basis, did you feel like you were getting a lot of good feedback, and did it feel like a victory in itself just being able to get it out there?
So when I first put it out, I was thinking, all right, get 1,000 plays in the first week or the first month. But then that wasn't really the case. But the response that I did get from it was a lot more than I thought, because I'm sort of known in Dundee and around Scotland, like a little bit. But to me, I don't think I'm that big. But the response that I got after that, mm-hmm. and the countries around the world that were seeing people listen to it, was mad. Crazy. So I was like, wow, okay, maybe people do know about my music, because that was like my first proper release. Yeah, it was a lot better than I thought, man. And I think hopefully with live gigs coming back, I'll be able to actually do a show on that EP, maybe like a 1 year anniversary thing or something, and then maybe get that out there more, like more exposure and that. But yeah, no, it was good.
No, you need to. I mean, people will be calling for it in that sense. I mean, I was, every time I'm at a talk to somebody and that, like, I'm aware of you. I'll get into that in a wee bit in terms of how I can, but in terms of your social medias and the videos and the wee snippets and that you've kind of put out there, there's a good bit of attention and traction, like views and comments and engagement, and it's that positive stuff in that. So, and that's not even just looking at the kind of local aspect of it. So, see, if we're talking local community, I know that Dundee's always had this kind of collective, like they've welcomed every kind of artist and every band, like a family in a sense. Did you notice that Dundee in particular was embracing you in that sense?
So, when I first started gigging, I wasn't alone. I was in a couple of bands before.
Yep.
But yeah, I did, I think, with one, I think with the metal band, I think because we were younger and we were getting on, we were only getting on gigs. We were only getting gigs because like someone would pull out and then they'd be like, oh, we're looking for someone, and we'd jump on. So people would be looking at us like a lot older, like, nah, it's just kids, man. Like, what are they going to do? We'd play the gig, and then afterwards they'd be like, okay, maybe they are like actually serious. And I felt like it was like that for a while. But generally speaking, like when I joined the music industry, like, sorry, not the industry, the scene, like myself, when it came to gigs, that was welcoming. Like the sound guys, I think, yeah, I have to give it up to the sound guys, man, because they were the ones, I think, who spoke amongst each other, like from the different venues. Mm-hmm. So whenever I would go to another venue, I'd meet a guy, be like, "Hi, I'm James." And he'd be like, nah, I know about you. So-and-so spoke about you. So yeah, I did feel like there was a good welcome, man. And it's sort of a good scene. I mean, the metal scene, I felt it's a bit more like every band for themselves. That's weird. Yeah, I don't know why. Like, as much as I did love metal, that was the only like negative side to like gigs. It felt like it wasn't a community. It was like, we need to be the best metal band. We need to sell the most tickets. We need to be the coolest in this. Instead of like everyone coming together and building each other up. You know what I mean? But yeah, so yeah, it was mostly good things, but yeah, that was probably the only negative thing.
Mm-hmm. Nah, that's fine. That's how I wanted to ask you that. I mean, in the kind of the band setting in my own right, I felt that as well. There was always this, it's kind of like a yin-yang in terms of you had all the support, but then there was this kind of competitive edge as well, but you would never say it. You would never go, we're competing with each other, but you just kind of felt it was just an underlying kind of feeling that was going on. So I get exactly what you mean. I just wanted to get your take on it, but we've got kind of, we can kind of see it through the same light, which is cool. Yeah, so,
other views, man.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, I've seen you in a lot of bands. We'll get into that in a wee bit. But the solo thing, right? So even though I've seen you in bands, I've seen you out doing your kind of solo stuff as well between the band work. Being in a band, did you always have like a desire to do a lot of solo stuff? Or was that like a kind of byproduct of performing and having that wee desire to go, you know what? I like contributing as a band member, but I've got a lot of stuff in my own right. It's like Dave Grohl in Nirvana. He wrote stuff in Nirvana, but he was the drummer. He never got a chance to showcase it. Did you feel like that while being in a band?
So I actually started like by myself, just playing guitar and singing. And then it was only until... I was in one band, but when I like came to move back to Scotland... I was always doing my solo stuff, but it was the bands that helped me get live gigs to then sort of rehearse and practice and then find the confidence to perform myself.
Yeah.
Because I think if I wasn't in any bands or any duos or anything, I think it would have taken me longer to get into the performing side, because I'd only ever done like YouTube and then maybe a couple of school talent shows and playing that. So yeah. So I've always done solo stuff, but I think it's because of the bands helped me actually get into it. So, yeah.
That's what you make it, though, eh? You've got to kind of get through all that experience to get from A to B, man. So the first band that I heard you in, or at least saw you in, was a band called Blackboard. Now, when I heard the Blackboard, I Googled them. I went, what the fuck's this name mean, man, right? I can't remember the meaning of it, but I remember the impact that you've had. Now, actually, I think I shared the bill with you once in a venue called Red, pure a long time ago, right?
What band were you in?
I was in a grungy kind of Breeding Indium. It was like a grungy type band. We were a bit of a mess, if I'm being honest.
Indium.
That's it, mate. The fact you're sitting thinking about it kind of speaks volumes.
It sounds familiar. But carry on. You said you shared a bill of Red.
Yeah, so we were playing, I think you were headlining, we were supporting you. It's a Fife band, I can't mind the name. There was a band called Kiefer and another band, Ride the Tides or something like that. So we were playing in Red Views, right? And we were playing, I think we opened up actually, and there's maybe a couple of people there. Yourselves and the band members and that were there, and it was a good kind of vibe. But the first time I got yous, apart from listening to your music, is that suddenly it was like, right, Blackboard's going on, and yous just went on, right? And then you had this wee like crowd going on, like, and when I mean a crowd, it was like you had, you know, you've got bands, you've got spectators who are like coming to watch the gig, they're coming to grab a quick pint and that. But it was different when yous were playing. It was this energy, of course, that was going on with the band. It was fucking heavy and loud, and then other people were going insane. And I was like, I'm used to doing an open mic session or coming to see like Lefty and that here, and then here's this Blackboard band that I've just heard though, and they're fucking like tearing the roof off the place and that, like, yous were fucking pretty immensely popular. What happened with Blackboard?
Oh man, so I think I don't at that time. What year was that? That Red gig?
That must have been 2017 or 2018 early. It was definitely one of those years. You had your first lead singer at the time. I can't remember his name.
Was it the smaller guy?
The smaller guy. That's right.
At that point, yeah, that's Eno. Basically, he was a good guy, right? He was a good vocalist. It was just the way he was as a person. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the best, okay, like towards other people. So when people seen our band, seen the way he was, they thought we were all like that. Mm-hmm. So eventually, after like many years of putting up with it, and it's not easy to find metal vocalists in Dundee,
not at all,
or Scotland alone. Yep. So like we were just like, well, we're just gonna have to just stick with him. And then eventually it just came to the point of we just had to like split ways with him. Found another vocalist, that was Sam Field, good guy. He was a beast on vocals. I'm sure you, I don't know if you heard of him. You heard him live, but he's
I've seen videos of him with you.
Basically, so we were Elements before. We rebranded to Blackblood, got a new vocalist, and then everything was going well. We'd recorded two singles with Tyndall from To Kill Achilles.
No, I know the band though. I know the band, like.
Yeah, well, the vocalist of To Kill Achilles now, he recorded our two singles, and the guitarist like filmed the music videos for them. Mm-hmm. And then we had an EP we'd recorded, had everything ready to go, backing tracks. We'd played a few gigs and then had a New Year's party. There was a fight. I don't know. Like, it's a long story. Don't want to get into it. But basically, there was a fight, an argument between our drummer, bassist, the old vocalist of The Kill Achilles, and then our vocalist was like there. And there was a big tough. And after that night, he ended up leaving. Mm-hmm. And that was pretty much like, after that, we were just like, man, it's too long. Like, it's been 5 years. We just found a new vocalist, just recorded an EP, just to wait and maybe book a tour. And then that happened. We were just like, pretty much just call it a day. Yeah, pretty much. We didn't even get to release the EP as well, because the vocalist that left, he didn't want us using the lyrics that he'd written. So he was pretty much like, if you put this out properly, then pretty much you're going to go to court. So we were like, we don't have any money to do that. Mm-hmm. We were just wanting to like put out something that took us 2 years to write and record for it to just be all blown over in one night. So yeah, we ended up just releasing it on SoundCloud, like for free. Yeah, that was the end, man. Very sad, quick end to like so much work, man. It was like 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I joined the band in 2013, like halfway through my first year in Perth College. And yeah, that was all the way up to the end of 2018. And then 2019, January 1st. It was like the early morning. And it was funny because the bells had just gone and everyone had hugged, said, Happy New Year, have a great year. And then all the madness started happening. So, but yeah, it's cool, man. Like, pretty much from that day, from like January 1st, 2019, that was when I was like, right, I'm just going to focus on myself. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been putting myself on the side for ages and now I'm just going to go for it. And yeah, now I'm here, man.
Yeah, man. And I mean, people say things have got to happen for a reason. And I mean, I know that the band, certainly if you were perceived at the band and that, they were destined. I've seen the kind of tours, I've seen the backdrop with the gigs and all that. But It's one of these things, man. I mean, even bands that have been and gone and toured the world loads of times have kind of broke up in that. So sometimes things are meant to happen. And I mean, if we're going by what you're doing now, you're certainly in a really, really good spot. And you can look back at it with some kind of fondness and go, well, at least I've done that. But here I am now, present day. So I just wanted to go back briefly, mate, right? So in general, when I see you, the surname and that, you come, for me, a pretty musical background, right? So I know, so Josh, Gabrielle and Simon, that's your brothers and sisters, yeah?
Nah, so it's Josh, Gabrielle, and my oldest brother is Mo, or Maloa.
Maloa Sam, is in Our Future Glory, is that right?
Yeah, so Mo, Josh and Sam went on for Your Glory. Sam is like a family friend, but I would consider him like pretty much like a third brother to say, because he's been pals with us since I was young. But yeah, so it's Mo, he's the oldest, Josh second, I'm the youngest son, and then my sister Gabriella is the youngest.
So
yeah, all musical.
Very musical. I mean, like Gabriella's studying, doing is she doing jazz stuff in that now?
Yeah, man, she's doing like all kinds of music at the Birmingham Conservatoire. Yeah. I think she's away to do her master's this year, which is crazy. The band, like my brother's band, that's not been the thing for a while.
Yeah.
I think they've all just been doing their own thing. Like Josh is DJing now, doing really well actually. Yeah. He's only been DJing for like 2 years and the growth has been mental. Because I didn't even know he was DJing until I seen like he was like started doing nights at like Underground in Dundee and that. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then it started getting bigger and bigger. And now he's doing like a festival. On the Glasgow Riverside. Can't remember what it's called, but some pretty big names. And then my oldest brother, I think he's married now. He's been married since 2014.
Yeah.
So he's just chilling, but I think he's been writing like a solo project behind the scenes. I don't know, but he has been working on something for ages. So I'm expecting to see something come soon, man.
Nah, man, just waiting. It's awesome. Like proper musical family. Like I know them from back in the day. Like I'm talking like the Gate kind of back in the day.
Yeah.
Long time ago, man. And I mean, the thing is, I think I would have probably knew who you were, but never ever spoke to you. But it was your oldest brother and Josh at the time. Those are the people that I spoke to, and they were always engaged in the music, as I seen your parents were as well to that extent, right? And very nice family, very, very talented kind of family. So see, based on your surroundings, being the youngest, was it always destined then? Did you always have this kind of musical bug? You know, you hear people talking about it's a musical family, there was always music going on in the house. Was this always something? Did you kind of was going to resort to something later in life?
Well, when I was younger, I used to always, according to my family, I used to always click, clap along to the music, like in time, just like as a young baby. So I think music's always been in me.
Yeah.
And then growing up when I was younger, whenever I would see someone performing live, like I would just be like that's what I want to do. Like before I actually played guitar, I used to get a tennis racket.
Yeah, man.
And just like pretend to play it and like, you know what I mean, jump around the living room and that. And then it was only, I think I was 10 when I got my first guitar, and then
yeah.
Got a couple lessons, and then I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And it's just that I think music is the only thing that I've properly like never actually like given up the whole like my whole life. Like I've tried things my whole life, tried them and put them down, but music's the only thing I've actually like held on to, man. It's the only thing that really makes me feel alive, man. I mean, obviously I've got like my sons and that, my girlfriend, but Music's the only thing that I've had forever, man. And yeah, another thing I like about music is it connects people.
Yeah.
Because like, if I didn't do music, I probably would have done this. We never would have chatted. And this is actually my first podcast. I just want to say, thank you very much for having me on, man.
Man.
I feel honored, man. Like, real, man. This is a big moment in my
pleasure's mine, buddy.
So and so, yeah, man. Therefore,
so talking about like kids then, so you've got kids. If we're just talking about kids, I'll not delve too much into the kids aspect of stuff, right? But if we're just kind of bringing it right back to the music, so before you had kids, so I'm guessing your kids, what are they like, couple year old?
So one is four, no, he's waiting to be four in August, mm-hmm. and then other one's 6 months, and then girlfriend's got two twins.
Okay. So if we're just reverting that back to music then in that sense, so maybe it was kind of half right based on ages and that. So see, in terms of how you approach music and that, so we know that people, I mean, not to say heavy bands and mellow bands and music and that need to have any kind of different stances, but if we're just doing a wee bit of reflection, so see the way that you write music and approach music now that you've got more responsibilities in that, do you feel that it's kind of changed the outlook and how you do it? Emotion wise, or just kind of the way that you approach songwriting and melodies in that?
So I think before I had kids, my songwriting, like, I didn't write as much. Mm-hmm. And it's weird, like, because obviously you've got all that free time, so you think, of course, why wouldn't you just be writing every day?
Yep.
But I think it was only after I had kids, and it's when you have kids, it's like you don't have as much time to do what you want to do. You need to make sure they're right, and then it's like you come second. So
that's right.
There wasn't always time to write music, so I'd just be put like writing lyrics on my phone just whenever I could, any free moment. And then the less time I had, the more I found myself just, I don't know, it was like, right, okay, and now that I don't have all the time in the world, and I sort of need to schedule it, you know what I mean? Just whenever I could. And yeah, it's like the will to write is like more, the hunger's more now. Before it was like, oh, I just write whenever I want, whenever I feel something. But now it's like every day.
Yeah.
Anything I see, anything in life, I just take aspects of that and then just apply it to the music, man. And it's, yeah, I think it's easier to write or feel creative when you have less time to do it. That's what I learned from my oldest brother, Josh. Mo. He told me, like, if you have a job, I mean, you're like, right, you have an idea, you can't wait to get home and apply that idea. But when you're sitting around every day just not doing anything, it's like the time just goes because there's no creative flow. You're just like sitting. So, yeah, I think it's good having less time to do stuff. It gives me more of a drive. So yeah, and it gives me something more to fight for. Like before, I was just doing it for me because I love music.
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh, I need to provide. I need to leave something behind so that my kids are all right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man, that's right. And there'll be something kind of inherent and subliminal in that, even though you're maybe not sitting there going, I'm writing a song because I want to write a song to make it appear to people, to get it in a kind of sense where people are going to understand it. Hopefully earn some money for it. You'll have this drive that even you might not be able to explain. And as a result of these responsibilities and that more focused agenda you've got for music. So no, that's kind of what I was expecting to hear, man. So if we're just delving into music in terms of inspiration, who inspired you? Like who's the bands that you listen to that got you into this kind of frame of mind?
Okay, so I listen to a lot of music, but one guy that I'd say, so obviously there was Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran was like one of the first that I'd seen, and like obviously he was on the streets and that, and
I
used to play for Drink, and then ended up sleeping on couches, and then eventually, you know what I mean, he worked his way up. Lewis Watson, mm-hmm. I discovered him on YouTube, like maybe not long after I discovered Ed Sheeran. And it's funny because Ed Sheeran was like his influence.
Oh,
and
then okay.
Lewis Watson, he's probably like singer-songwriter wise, he's probably like my biggest influence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely, man. Like he started off by himself and then eventually had a band. But then he still does stuff by himself.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, his songwriting probably cemented in me the most. And he's always like just had that drive, man. Trying to think who else. I listen to a lot of rap, and I've noticed that rappers have got, I don't know, it's an inexplainable, it's like, if you probably know, man, or you probably have pals, like, if you come from, like, don't have a lot of money when you were younger, you don't, you're not able to get anything you want.
Yep.
It's like the drive and the hunger is more, and you actually, you're able to, like, there's no, like, oh, I'm giving up. It's like, you don't stop until, it's like, I don't want to ever be in this situation again. So you keep going until you're fine. You know what I mean? So I feel like if you grow up and you get everything you want, and I mean, it's like, I don't know, if you want to do music, there's not really a drive because, you know what I mean, you've got everything you really wanted. So it's just like a more of a hobby. But yeah, if it's like, nah, this is something that I want to do, and then, yeah, pretty much just...
No, that's what separated. There's this kind of line that goes about, I can't mind it. I didn't even care if you compare it with music, but it was something like, how can you get up and jog, or how could you get up and work if you're sleeping in silk pajamas? It's like, if you're already rich, like your hunger that got you to the kind of fame and success, if you're there already and you're sleeping in bloody silk pajamas in a big house and that, you're not going to be hungry anymore. So I could see what you're saying with that, and that's, you find that in a lot of people. And I mean, you also see that a lot of people lose that kind of hunger, and not that we'll name any kind of bands or successful musicians, but everybody kens kind of who we're regarding in that sense, man. So no, that's cool. Anybody that would be surprised, like, I can listen to a bit of every, and like when I'm playing drums and that, I can stick on fucking Slipknot to ABBA to even a wee old Oasis thing. Is there anything that you listen to that people would be like, oh, I didn't see that coming?
I don't know. Maybe Justin Bieber, man.
Yeah, man.
Probably. Like, I remember when I was in high school, like, obviously, when he first came out, everyone was making fun of him. And I was like, I like this music, but I was like, I'm not going to be shouting to the rooftops to listen to him. But 100%, like, from everything he's been through, from, like, obviously, he's been famous since he was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't get that really. His adolescence was just all eyes on him.
Yeah.
Screaming girls, all this. But I think, like, his songwriting, his voice, the way that he's... Because, obviously, he grew up and his voice, like, it matured well. And, mm-hmm, obviously, the talent's there. But, yeah, I think Justin Bieber's probably an artist that people wouldn't think I'd listen to. Mm-hmm. But he's like, yeah, he's, yeah, one of the ones, man. And my sister actually, like, showed me him, like, before he was famous. It was weird. Like, she'd found his YouTube, and he was like, oh my goodness, this guy's going to be famous. And I was like, meh. And then, boom. Nah, great songwriting, man.
Yeah, man.
And great performer as well, man. And just a generally good guy. Like, nothing but love, man. And that's sort of me, man. I don't really like strife and arguing and hate. I've always been just about peace and love, man, getting along. Even if you don't like someone, man, just be civil. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, there's always someone worse off than you, you know what I mean? So just be sound to everyone, man. Life's too short to be fighting and arguing and doing all this madness. That's why I don't understand, like, the world. And that's another thing with the EP, man, that I forgot to mention with the name. Or the first reason why it's called Sad New Happy is because it seems that because there's so much madness around, it seems like that's the norm. And it's like, so sad is now the new norm. Yeah. And it's just, yeah, crazy, man.
Nah, the world needs more peace and love, mate. I mean, that's the thing. People forget about it, whether it's jumping on social media and being judgmental, even if you're not saying it, the fact that you're thinking it and looking at other people's bad. And I mean, do you imagine the benefit, like, if the world and society, I mean, I know that people say, oh, we're going to come together to do that, we're going to come together to do that, but they're not really invested in it. It's more a bandwagon than an actual internal feeling. So yeah, I think peace and love needs to be there, and kind of reverting back to Bieber, or for example, with me, you say you liked Bieber and that, but obviously people have got skewed opinions on it. I used to listen to dance music and go like, I can't fucking stand that. But see, the musician mind in me was able to appreciate that they've got a different artistic drive. They're just approaching it in a different style than you. So appreciate the fact that them as an individual is reflecting and kind of getting their personality expressed through that type of music. It's not the same as what you like, but you've just got to appreciate that they're getting their style across, man. So like the kind of Bieber instance and that's the kind of way that I approach that. So if we're looking at you, right, so what's your aim then in life? Just before we kind of wrap all this up here. So you busk, you're popular, you're going to continue to get popular, man. So are you looking to make it big in terms of, dependent on your aspect of big, make loads of money, make an honest living, or are you just looking to kind of be happy in what you're doing, and even if it's just earning a minimum wage, doing a residency in a kind of gig venue, is that your pursuit to happiness in music?
Basically, so it's more on the side of I want people to love my music for what it is. Obviously, my music's not for everyone. And I don't just do like one type. I've been experimenting in that. But I want just people to appreciate the music. And I've always wanted to, like, since I was young, I've always wanted to travel the world and perform to big audiences.
That's like, right.
Whether how big or small it is. But yeah, man, that's the goal, man. Just travel the world. And also another thing, I want people to find either solace or something they can relate to, just to let them know that, you know, you're not alone. Whatever it is you're going through, whether you're happy, you're sad, angry, whatever it is, like, not alone. You know what I mean? We're all the same. And yeah, just want music to help people get through things. I mean, whatever vibe it is that I'm carrying.
No, man. And I mean, a lot of musicians say it, like, the music that you're making, I mean, whether you're writing it to get someone else off your chest, or whether you're writing it because there's a problem going on in the outside world, once you've kind of released it and gave it to people, whether you get one person or 1,000 people listening to it, once it's out there, people will be able to apply their own life to it. And whether you've aimed to do that or no, that's kind of the invisible rail with music. People just kind of tack for it to what they get. And that's pretty much, if that's how you get about and you can earn a career helping people from afar, getting a living where you can provide for your family, then that's pretty much living and not existing, mate. But just kind of talking about you wanting to travel the world and that. So we've had, we've had local musicians. There's a guy called Neil McLaren? He's a solo musician who, he was able to get across to like America and New York and everything, just by knowing the right people and that. So it's definitely possible to do it. Certainly to get to venues and that you've probably always had a desire to play. If you've got anywhere in mind that you'd love to play?
Not exactly, but see, I didn't mention it, but when I, like, 2007, my dad got a job in the Middle East. So me, my sister, my mom, we moved over to Bahrain, near Dubai.
Yep.
And I was there for like 6 years, coming back to Scotland every summer. And I made a lot of friends in Bahrain who have like dispersed around the world. So I've had a couple of pals like message me saying like, yo, when you do come to this part of the world, like, you can stay here and I know venues and places you can play. So I've already got like a sort of small idea, like that Holland, I have a pal in Holland who said that if I ever come there, happy. And then I've also got family all around the world, America, Australia, Europe, Africa. So yeah, I think that's probably where I'd start before.
Sorted for it.
Actually, because I don't know how you like book tours and that. I think it's like, obviously you need money and that, but
yeah,
I think it's easier to get a tour booked if you've got like a buzz, or if you're, I mean, you're blowing up because you actually Like, you know, people are going to turn up rather than just doing a tour and then hoping people turn up. But yeah, man, that's probably what I'd start with, just friends and family. And then from there, that main word would maybe spread. And then, yeah.
It's just the constant grind.
Yeah, man. Online as well. I think social media, if it wasn't for social media, I don't think I would be nearly as like known as I am, because
don't think anybody would be.
Nah. It's social media. I've got a big props to social media, man. As annoying as it is, and as much as I try to stay off it, it's been the greatest help for this musical journey, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a massive platform. And yeah, I mean, even for me, different genre in terms of what we're doing, but same vibe, same goal in that sense. And social media, man, without it would be kind of screwed. We'd be working 10 times harder than we are now, I would imagine, certainly on the promotional front. Have you got a 5-year plan, mate? Like, do you believe in 5-year plans? Have you got a plan for yourself over the next couple of years? It's a funny one. People sometimes just kind of take life as it is, take every day as it comes.
Yeah, I take every day as it comes. Like, I try to... I don't know, man. I usually just take it with as it comes, but if 5 years, I'd probably say, what's that? So we're in 2021, aren't we? Don't know. I'd want to be in a nice house, doing really well musically, home studio. Like that, I think that's one of my main goals, because studio time is money. That's like, it's just, I mean, it's crazy. I know you know, man. I don't even explain, but it's crazy. So,
yep.
Yeah, in 5 years, I want to have my own home studio. Go small, man. That's what I want to do. Just easier for creating. And if anyone sends me something they want me to be on, I'm not going to need to call someone up, book it in. It's just like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, let's do it. That's how Pitch started, man.
I want to learn how to mix and master in 5 years, like see like the engineer side of things.
Yeah.
So I've been interested in that for quite a few years. When I was younger, I didn't think I need to do that. I just like, I'll just play music and sing. As I got older, I realized, nah, I need to know the other side so that I'm not relying on other people, because I've noticed when you rely on other people in this music world, time is wasted because you're always waiting on someone else and they've got other things to do and their own personal issues. So if you can just do everything yourself or to an extent, then it's like no time is a wasting.
That's it. I mean, and people, as your experience in music's kind of growing as well as your ear in that sense, you're perhaps going to be more a perfectionist, you know? So even though you've got people doing the stuff for you, any engineer in the world, they might be qualified, but you and your kind of head and your ears, you know what kind of sound you're trying to articulate. So if you've got the tools to do that, then you'll be 100%, well, maybe not 100%, but you'll be close to 100% satisfied without that kind of niggle that you've maybe not got it because somebody else hasn't got your vision and kind of mindset towards it. So that'd be a good thing moving forward, I reckon, mate. Have you got any music coming out, any stuff coming out over the next few months?
I'm on way to be recording my next EP in like 2 weeks. The girl Zara, who is like Black Waves Audio, so check her out. Amazing work. But when I recorded my last EP, my first EP, she was staying on Clippy Road. For the last 6 months, she'd been building a home studio in her parents' house, like out in the countryside. So that's where I'm gonna be recording, man. And I'm quite excited because it's going to be quiet, peaceful. I'm also going to be getting a photographer up one of the days who's going to be maybe shooting a mini documentary / getting photos just for the promo side.
Yeah,
man. I wanted to do that last time, but I didn't think of that. I was a bit late, so this time around, man. So expect that to be out sometime this year. New EP and possibly some singles. But who knows?
Possibly some gigs. Definitely. Mate.
Yeah, man. Gigs, man. Hopefully be announcing some stuff, but for now it's to be confirmed.
Yeah, man. Nah, I'm hopefully got a positive vibe with that. So where can the listeners find all your stuff, mate? Where's the best place?
So Facebook, Instagram. Facebook or Instagram? I use Instagram more than Facebook.
Instagram's the best.
But so yeah, Instagram probably is like where you want to find me. It's just James Leander Music. And I also post a lot on YouTube and SoundCloud. Yeah, if you want to find any of my music as well, just any streaming service, and you can also buy it as well if you fancy it.
Where yeah, you get it? James, is that on like Band? You got like Bandcamp where you can buy your EP and stuff like that?
So I've got Bandcamp. It's not on my Bandcamp, but there is two people have actually put it up. So Zara, the girl that engineered, recorded and mastered, mixing all that, she's got it up on Bandcamp. And then this guy, what's his name? I don't know his actual name. I think it's like Fadland, but his name is Ninja T. He's a rapper from down south.
Cool name.
He actually put it up as well on his Bandcamp. I don't know. Did you hear my single Half the World Away? The first song I released.
Ken, what? See, conveniently that you asked me that. No, I was listening to the other stuff yesterday, but that's the one I never listened to.
Okay, well,
I'll listen to it after this, though.
Sorry?
I'll give it a wee listen right after this, though, mate.
Oh, no worries, man. No worries. Well, yeah, you check that out. And then there's a second single, Cycle, as well. And those two songs are, like, completely different from the EP. And those are, like, sort of experimental to see, like, what I could do. The first single, that only came about because the rapper Ninja T, I'd seen his music online. I was always sharing it. And the producer who was doing all his music, he hit me up and he was like, I like your music, man. I've got something that I think you would be good on. He sent me that instrumental. He only wanted four lines. I ended up writing a whole track. And then I told him, I was like, look, man, I know you said four lines, but I was feeling the song, so you can just cut out what you want. And he ended up using the whole song. And go. Yeah, so that was my first single. And the second single was a reproduction of this producer in Mumbai, India, mm-hmm. who somehow found me on Instagram and was like, have you got any music clip? Do you need me to mix in? And I sent him a demo of that song, and he reproduced it, and then he made it like amazing. So that's the second single, if you want to check that out as well, man.
Awesome.
Because that song was written in 3 hours in my pal's basement with me and my friend Ewan. Crazy, crazy, man. Just then when we first made the song, I didn't think it would make it. I wasn't gonna release it. I was just gonna maybe just put it on SoundCloud or something. And the end result was 10 times better than ever imagined.
Yeah, so sometimes yeah, you just gotta trust your gut.
Definitely, man, definitely.
I'm just surprised. I mean, like, when you get people contacting you on the medias, mate, I mean, that's amazing that somebody from Mumbai was able to get on board. I mean, the minute you're posting anything, you've got about six spam robots telling you to promote it. With this record company, that record company, it's like, I can see right through you. But nah, that's cool, man. And I mean, I've been fortunate to see somewhat of a journey based on you from when you got into it, into your bands, to your solo stuff. I've seen how active you are on social media. You've got a lot of music kicking about. If anything's to go by, be the kind of journey you're on now. And all this COVID shit getting away, man. It's the future's looking bright, mate.
Yeah, looking man.
Bright.
I'm looking forward.
Peace and
to
love
him.
And bright.
Mate, I'm excited, man. I just want to get out and perform, man. And yeah, I want this new music to just record, man. I've been waiting because of COVID. I had to wait like months just to get in the studio. Like the EP that I record, like released last year, that was meant to be a two part. I was meant to release the first part in March, April, and then the second part and then June, July. But because of COVID, I had to not because of COVID, sorry. The laptop that we were using to record, there was a house party. I wasn't there. basically drink got spilt on the laptop. Jeez, that had to work on it, and I had to re-record the whole EP, man. Bar like a few stems that were recovered, but because of that, the EP actually sounded better than it did before. So I was happy.
Meant to be.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
But listen, we will get this wrapped up. As I said, things are looking good. Things are looking amazing. A lot of good stuff coming out. I'll share your links all over the place, all over social media, and I wish you the best of luck with everything that's to come.
Appreciate that, man.
Not a problem, man.
And thanks again for having me on this, man. This has been a cool experience. I was like a little bit nervous, but man, 5 minutes in, I was quite relaxed. So, yeah, you're very easy to speak to, man.
I appreciate it, man. But we'll catch up another time. We'll let you get a couple of gigs, get your other music out there, and then we'll catch up and see how you're getting on, man.
Definitely, man. Definitely. I look forward to it.
James, you take it easy, man, right?
Take care, man.